The tour content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the audio version of the two-page article I wrote and published on my Substack, rabbischneeweis.substack.com, and on my blog, kolhasreading.blogspot.com, on December 30th, 2022, and the article is entitled An Etymological Drush from Rav Hirsch on Jewish versus Pagan Priests. And I'm just going to read the little teaser heading here that I wrote for the Substack article. This is a two-page article, as opposed to a one-page article, on last week's Parsha, Miketz, as opposed to Vayigash. But when I saw this comment from Rav Hirsch, I simply needed to write a piece about it, and this is what I ended up writing. So without further ado, an etymological drush from Rav Hirsch on Jewish versus Pagan Priests. There are two types of linguistic analysis of the Hebrew language found in Torah commentaries. The first type takes into consideration all available data as the basis for its conclusions and follows the evidence wherever it may lead. This approach may be described as scientific, evidence-based, or academic. The second type of analysis avowedly does not factor in all the data, but is guided by a particular set of assumptions, philosophical beliefs, and rhetorical objectives. This approach may be described as poetic, imaginative, or homiletical. The first type of analysis is bottom-up, whereas the second is top-down. The first is a necessity for pshat, whereas the second is a valuable tool in the arsenal of drush. Shadal, Samuel David Luzzatto, who lived from 1800 to 1865, exemplifies the scientific approach, as Daniel Klein writes in his preface to Shadal on Genesis, quote, from page 22, in his investigation of word meanings, Luzzatto drew upon every means at his disposal, including comparisons with the later Mishnaic Hebrew of the rabbis and with languages cognate to Hebrew, such as Aramaic, Syriac, and Arabic, end quote. Shadal's commentary is replete with philological analyses based on his understanding of the evolution of the Hebrew language. Rav Samson Raphael Hirsch, who lived from 1808 to 1888, a grandmaster of the poetic approach, holds by a different set of premises from Shadal. According to Matityahu Clark, editor of the Etymological Dictionary of Biblical Hebrew based on the commentaries of Samson Raphael Hirsch, Hirsch believed that Hebrew, quote, from page 10 in the preface, quote, is not a language that has historically developed and grown by absorbing or adapting words and expressions from foreign sources. Rather, it is a single integral unit with its own internal structure and grammar, its own logic and patterns, its own meanings and nuances, end quote. Hirsch, quote, states repeatedly that one should not look to foreign languages to find meanings of words in the Torah, end quote, believing that, quote, the Hebrew language, believing instead that, quote, the Hebrew language is self-contained, end quote. That was from page 11 in the preface. Thus, quote, from page 293, in his analysis, Hirsch makes no use of or references to other languages of the ancient Near East, end quote. Instead, basing his conclusions on his idiosyncratic theory of three-letter roots. Although there are hundreds of examples which illustrate the differences between these two approaches, the main reason I wrote this article is to showcase a single excerpt of Rav Hirsch's commentary in Parshas Miketz. Yosef is overcome with emotion upon seeing his younger brother Binyamin. As it states in Breishis 43:30, quote, Yosef hurried because nichmaru rachamav towards his brother, and he sought to weep. He went into the room and wept there, end quote. The basic question is, what does nichmaru rachamav mean in the context of this pasuk? A second question arises from the more common use of this three-letter root in the word komer, which is universally understood to mean pagan priest, as in 2 Malachim 23:5, quote, Yoshiyahu also dismissed the Komrim, end quote. And in Hosea 10:5, quote, for its people will mourn over it as well as its Komrim, end quote. And in Tzfanya 1:4, quote, I will cut off from this place any remnant of the Baal and the memory of the ministers with the Komrim, end quote. The second question is, what, if anything, is the relationship between the expression Nichmaru Rachamav and the word Komer? Shadal's Italian translation of the pasuk in Miketz, rendered into English by Daniel Klein, reads as follows, quote, and immediately Joseph, pity having been kindled in him towards his brother and wanting to weep, entered into the room and wept there, end quote. Shadal elaborates on his reasoning in his commentary, quote, kindled, nichmeru, means became hot and burning, as in Eicha 5:10, our skin is hot, nichmeru like an oven. In Rosenmuller's opinion, and before him the Alexandrian translation, the original meaning of rachamim, here translated as pity, was bowels, just as the singular form rechem means womb, end quote. Shadal is not the first one to translate nichmeru as hot and burning. Ibn Ezra, Avram ben Aramam, Rabag, and others took the same approach, many of them citing the same pasuk from Eicha. As for our second question, we, or at least I, don't have access to Shaddal's commentary on any of the three instances of the word Komer cited above. We do, however, have the commentary Ho'il Moshe by Rabbi Moshe Yitzchak Ashkenazi, or Moise Tedeschi, who lived from 1829 to 1898, one of Shaddal's informal students, who employs a similar evidence-based linguistic approach to that of his teacher. Quote, HaKomrim, according to Heinrich Wilhelm Jesenius, 1786 to 1842, in his lexicon, its meaning, meaning the meaning of Komrim, is those who burn incense. If so, one must assume that the letters Gimel, Yud, Chaf, Kuf were transposed, and its origin is Aramaic or Syriac. Gachale Esh, fiery coals, is translated as Gumrin de Ishia, and the priests raise up smoke with fiery coals on the firepan. Accordingly, they are superior in rank to priests whose forms of service are not as significant. End quote. Thus far, the scientific approach of Shaddal. Rav Hirsch's poetic approach stands in stark contrast. He reads our pasuk as, quote, Yosef hastened, for his feelings towards his brother had been stirred up, and he wished to cry, and he went into the room and wept there. End quote. And that was a translation by Daniel Haberman. Rav Hirsch's commentary begins with a pshat answer to our first question, then segues into a drush answer to our second question. So here is the long quote. Nichmaru Rachamav, for Yosef knew what he intended to do to Binyamin, the painful ordeal he intended to put him through, even if only briefly. Kamar, or Kuf Mem Resh, the stirring up of strong emotions, is also the root of Michmores, a net. A Komer is a pagan priest. The rabbinic term Kamar Shel Zesim denotes laying fruit on top of one another so that they should heat up and ripen, or it denotes burying them in the earth for this purpose, sealing them off until they become ripe and tender. Michmar Bisra, from Psachim 58b, initial spoilage in meat, or Biv Shihu Kamor Tachas Abayis, from Oholos 3.7, a hidden drain. The basic meaning of Kuf Mem Resh, then, is to keep back something, shut it up and prevent it from going free, and thus bring it to fermentation. Thus, on the one hand, a net, and on the other, the process of fermentation. Transposed to the emotional realm, Kamar, or Kuf Mem Resh, denotes pent-up feelings, which, as a result of repression, reach an intense state of ferment. Compare Tehillim 73:21, ki yischametz levavi, emotional ferment which can no longer be contained in one's breast, intense emotional excitement. For this reason, apparently, pagan priests are called komrim as opposed to kohanim. The Jewish kohen is not dependent on devotion, emotion. Jewish divine service is not designed to excite dark, mysterious feelings. The Jewish sanctuary appeals primarily to the intellect. Hispalel means to rectify one's judgment and to make clear to oneself one's relationship to things in general, one's duties. Feelings are very cheap. One can weep copiously before God in prayer and then get up and be no better than one was before. The Komer counts on exciting the emotions. The Kohen, however, has to be Kain with himself and Mechin, provide others with firm direction and a firm basis. Heathenism works on the emotions and thereby shackles the intellect. The emotions, however, are like a clock mechanism without hands, restless movement that knows not whence or whither, which can be exploited for any purpose. The Komer fans the flames of hell and arouses fanaticism. He celebrates his triumph when nichmeru me'ayim, when the innards of the believers reach a point of total ferment. End quote from Rav Hirsch. This is a beautiful example of what I call etymological drush. Rav Hirsch uses the Hebrew language to expound on a core idea about Judaism. The fact that his analysis of the root Chaf Mem Resh may or may not be scientifically accurate by the standards of modern philology is immaterial. This is the way of drush. Fortunately, we are not forced to choose between the approaches of Shaddal and Rav Hirsch, just as we need not commit ourselves exclusively to either pshat or drush. Rabbi David Foreman once likened the interrelationship between pshat and drush to that of melody and harmony. Both play different roles, the parameters of which must be understood to be effectively used, but together they result in beautiful music. If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweis. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweis, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweis@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.